I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the long-awaited Bronkoff by Guitar Nerds, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Naomi McLeod.
Hello.
And JD Short.
Hiya.
Yes, hello, hello both. Welcome, welcome. We're actually getting to do a podcast in person, which is pretty rare.
I'm smiling so hard at you both right now.
Yeah, it's strange to not just be looking at a computer screen. I remember I can actually look up and look at you both. This is wonderful.
It's a very special moment for all of us.
It seriously is quite wholesome. So very good to do it in person at last. It's my first time meeting JD ever.
Yeah. Been doing this for ages. First time we've actually met in person.
Yeah. That is true. Is it absolutely no change for you, dear listener? But for us, it's a novelty. So yeah, we're making the most of it. But yes, anyway. So this podcast, the Bronkoff, it's sponsored by a number of benefactors who've helped make this series a reality. So a big thank you to Mojo Pickups for making us some exquisite pickups for the series. Thank you to BTN Music. It's btnmusic.co.uk, All Parts UK, and Hipshop for providing the hardware and for being such a fantastic one-stop shop for guitar parts in the UK. And thank you to Music Nomad for providing the equipment resources and helpful guitar tech guides that have helped us set up our Broncos and make them the best they can possibly be. And finally, of course, thank you to Fender and Squire for providing the Broncos upon which this entire series hinges. Also a little shout out to our listeners for all your help and support, especially Dave Lee, who's helped teach me how to refinish a neck and actually sent me a few materials as well. So that was pretty good. Now, this, dear listener, this podcast series is accompanied by a number of video demos on the various Guitar Nerd social media channels. So be sure to check them out and see what we've been working on all this time. If you're not familiar with what on earth the Bronkoff is, then, dear listener, let me fill you in. Naomi, JD, and I have each been provided with a Squire Bronco bass. Squire's most affordable, budget, short-scale beginner's bass. Actually a great starter bass in its own right. And we've each taken our bass and modded it to a professional-ish gigging standard. What have we done? We've had them refinished. We had new hardware, new pickups, body modifications. Well, that sounds a bit weird.
We've had their noses pierced. We've had new pick guards, haven't we? And we've had various stages of hardware.
Yeah, and knobs. like for mine, I went through and did like a full proper like fret tuning, cleaning, all
fret dressing.
The fret dressings, the like hyper sanding the neck, so it's like it feels like a much more expensive neck than you would expect.
The neck on yours is exceptional. We're going to get into all that, dear listener, but electrics as well, the whole shebang, really. And on this podcast, we're going to be discussing the modifications that each of us has made. And if you are looking for a fun summer project, then let this podcast serve as advice and suggestions for what you could do with your Squire Bronco to turn an extremely affordable bass into something unique and extremely cool. Worth noting that whilst this is a bass, This podcast and project is by no means aimed at just bass players. I think part of the reason for choosing the Bronco is its versatility and suitability for a guitarist looking for a bass to have around the house for recording and you know, just for general messing about. Because they're great. They're you know, they're very cool, super affordable, you know.
They're really, really fun to play.
Exactly. And it's not like, you know, especially for you, JD, like, you know, short scales aren't really your bag at all. But this, it's
such a nice, it's like, for me, it's a really, it fills a niche and it's like a completely different tool to have. And it's, I really dig it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, they're super affordable just straight off of Fender's website. You know, yeah. I think they're, I don't know what they are, like 170 quid off of there. Like, I guess it's a little bit cheaper if you shop around, if you find the right retailer. But, you know, also, you know, secondhand, they don't retain their value at all. So you find the right one, you can pick them up for like 70 quid.
Yeah, I've seen a few on Reverb where people have tried their, you know, non-branded Bronc off themselves and have been like, actually, I messed it up. And then you look at it and it's like, it would take 5 minutes to fix it, but they're just like, 50, 60 quid, 70 quid, 100 quid, like, it all worth it. It's such a great piece to have.
Well, that's it. And this is, we're by no means the first people to think of modding Broncos. I feel like this is, it's kind of become a thing. Outside of what we've been doing before this, like modding Broncos is a semi-popular thing. I was searching on YouTube the other day, like, I don't know, I can't remember what I was looking for, something unrelated, and someone was like, the ultimate the Bronco of Doom or something like that. Someone had modded a Bronco for metal and doom and stuff. And
check that out.
Yeah, it was good. I don't think they'd put as much effort into the aesthetics as we have, but you know, then they weren't doing it for a podcast.
They weren't doing it for a podcast, so why focus on the aesthetics?
Oh God, what have we done? Now, once you've listened to this podcast and checked out the guitars that we've built, you'll also have the chance, dear listener, to vote on which Guitar Nerd host has built the best bass. Voting is going to take place across all of our social media channels and Patreon. And the total votes are going to be added up, I guess. I'm going to try and add them up. And then, you know, I'll count them and the winner will be crowned. I don't think I'm doing anything more than that. It's just going to be...
You get to win Naomi's bass.
Yeah.
That's
Hang on a
joke,
minute.
Dear listener.
Hang on a goddamn minute.
Yeah, I haven't really decided what the winner gets. I mean, I was going to say the winner gets to keep their bass, but we're all keeping the basses anyway. I mean, I don't really want mine, so I haven't decided what I'm going to do.
Is it another Bronc?
Yeah. The winner gets to start again.
Yeah. Exactly. But
well, it's nice to win, isn't it? So
yeah. Exactly. Well, we'll see how this goes. But yeah, dear listener, we're going to talk about the bases that we've all built and what we did to them and what we think that you can do. But before we do that, I want to talk about the instrument itself, the Squire Bronco, because it's a weird one. Like, it is a weird instrument. I think it's been part of the Squire catalog for so long that everyone's just like, this is the short scale affordable Squire. But I don't understand really how it's still in the catalogue for Squire. I feel like Squire have done this great job of upping the quality and professionalism of their instruments for so long. And the Bronco's just slipped through the hole. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I think the other things they do, like the short scale Jaguar or the Mustang, the affordable Mustang with the PJ Mustang that Fender do. I know that's Fender and not Squire, but...
Sure.
Yeah, actually, that's another point. But yeah, the Squire, you know, that short scale Jaguar that's PJ and things like that, that's a great instrument. Those are versatile pickups. That's a great beginner's guitar. That's the instrument that you should be buying to start because it will do everything and it's short scale. So, you know.
Has a cool look about it as well.
It's interesting, unique. Yeah.
Yeah,
they do everything, I think, is really important because, like, when you're starting out, you don't, at least for me, like, you don't really know what you want to do because, like, I was equally playing in like Southern gospel bands, metal, like thrash metal, funk bands, and also doing big band stuff with like the same like PV that I started off with.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the thing. That Jaguar Short Scale nails that.
Yeah.
We'll do everything. You can learn bass and find out what you want. Find out what sort of a bass player you are with that instrument. The Bronco, I don't think it's that instrument.
Mm.
It's I mean, let's talk about the Bronco features. So the very simple tuners, they've got the weird, what do you call it? The chicken feet tuners? What do you call those? The Y tuners? So we've got Y tuners, which they don't use on anything else, not even their other budget basses. So it's weird that they do that. And then it's like the non-standard sizes, like as we found.
The post sizes being smaller.
So small that, you can't buy a replacement.
Yeah, you have to ream them out. And, you know, Joe did a wonderful job reaming our headphones.
I was wondering if I was going to get that brought up. I did the worst job ever.
No,
3 minutes in, yeah.
It was much better than
We've been waiting months to speak to you about this show. No, it was, and we're here in person.
That's not what I was going with. I was just saying, like, I was giving you credit for doing the reaming. Mm. The string spacing is also a completely non-standard string spacing that you would get on anything. And, you know, not to get into the nuts and bolts yet, but like I ended up going back with the stock bridge that it comes with because I liked it quite a bit. But then I had tried two other bridges and it just couldn't get them to work.
Well, that's another weird thing for me. The bridge, if the Bronco is, and it is, the most affordable thing that Squire do, why on earth is it a custom bridge?
Yeah.
It's a completely, this bridge doesn't exist on any other guitar in the world. You can't tell me that Squire or Fender paying to have something tooled that's only good for one guitar. Surely
they would use mass produced everything at a wider level for the Bronco. I've had that exact thought.
You think about the terrible bridges that come on, like, not now that they've sorted it out with Vintera models at Fender, but the old 50s and 60s style Mexican basses that Fender did. They had awful bridges on them. Surely those mass-produced vintage bridges would be the cheap bridge that you could put on this.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like the neck profile's different than, you know, like it's a narrower neck than you would get on most other basses that are 30. I mean, to be fair, I really dig it. It's one of the things that makes it a special bass, but it's so bonkers. It doesn't make, so much about this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's the beauty and the curse of very vintagey style instruments, I find, where you're just like, it's like, this was before anyone made anything standard and we've just kept it.
Well, this is it. That's a great point is, first of all, dear listeners, come back to it. Even though we are slagging off the Bronco right now, we're not really slagging it off. I still think it's a great, fun, awesome instrument. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And you hit a nail on the head there. Like, there are things about the Bronco that are vintagey, yet they haven't gone the whole hog. It's not like vintage style. They haven't lacquered the neck. They haven't really lent on any of the Bronco's heritage, which we'll come on to shortly. Yeah. The instrument that inspired the Bronco to exist. Even though they do keep a lot of those features, I just don't really know what it is.
I agree. There's a lot about it that's unique, but not necessarily for reasons that Squire are shouting about. It's not like, among the features are these narrower tuning posts and this unusual string spacing.
If you want to put a bad bridge on a bass, it's normally because they're like, because that's the bridge that they had in 1961.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the reason that you put a bad bridge on something, because of the heritage. The Bronco doesn't have that, which is weird. And let's talk about the pickup.
What lurks under that that innocent white plastic cover? It's a six-pole Strat pickup. It's not a bass pickup whatsoever. To me, that's the weirdest thing about the Bronco, easily. In fact, in my early Bronco mod curiosity, before I did Bronco mod number one, for listeners, the Bronkov is my second Bronco mod. I did my first in 2018, I think. But when I found this about the pickup, I then went around stores. I remember being in Sam Ashton, New York, looking at, I think it was like DiMarzio Strat pickups, and the guy in the store almost laughed me out of it and was like, you do realize you're talking about a bass? And I was like, yes, I do realize I'm speaking about a bass. Have you looked under the hood of the Bronco? So, I mean, I was initially looking to replace like for like, but I mean that has to be a spare part off affinity strats, off something like that. But to not even have a bass part in the pickup, the pickup for the sound of the bass is so fundamental and so odd. And yet I will still argue the corner that it's not the worst sounding.
No.
It's not the worst sounding out of the box.
I think it's one of those things that, like, it just works really well in that the Broncos it's never meant to give you, it's not meant to sound like an upright. You know, it's not meant to sound like an old P bass. It's meant to sort of, it's a really forward facing, pokey sort of tone broadly. And it's like, it makes a lot of sense. And it's things like, if you think about it, like in my mind, when I think about it, it's like, would it be one of those things where, you know, it's 50s, 60s, early 70s, maybe still when people are doing tic-tac, you know, and just sort of like dubbing, you know, like,
so like a basic sound.
Yeah, sort of like a basic on top of an upright, on top of that. And it's sort of like, oh, why don't we just get the thing that pokes through, you know, like AM radio quite well. And it's like, it's a weird thing. And it, to me, like as a bass player primarily, like it feels like when people don't do anything different, just release an amp with a B at the end of the number, you know, and it's like, well, this is our bass one. And it's like, you take the covers off and like, it's literally the same. Like it's just a strat pickup on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, the pickup thing did two things that were totally different. One really positive, one really negative. The really positive is, as Naomi said, you can retrofit a strat pickup.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah,
from a bass player's perspective. Absolutely. Opens up a huge range because there's so much more available. Yeah.
Sure.
To you.
And it's instantly quite creative as well.
Yeah.
That's I mean, you're initially forced to think outside the box if that's the
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like for like pickup that you would mod in a Bronco. Yeah.
And I think, I've forgotten his name now. Oh, that's a shame. A YouTuber in the States. Bass playing YouTuber with a beard.
Oh.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to hang it in.
With the beard.
I'm gonna do it.
I'm just gonna start naming YouTubers.
Would it be
Davey 504?
Demo. No. He's not a bass player.
He doesn't have a beard.
Would it be Andy Irvine?
Andy. I mean, Andy would murder a Bronco.
That'd be
great.
With a beard. Peter Per Pa. I'm trying to do that whilst looking it up.
Pepper Precision Bases.
Pepper Pig Bases. This is where we test our pop filters.
By the way, it's not that I can't think of bass YouTubers.
Got it. Patrick Hunter.
Oh, there you go.
Patrick Hunter. The only reason I thought of it is because he did quite a good demo with a Squire Bronco where he'd modded it with, I think, some sort of bladed, I think it was like a...
Oh, yeah.
Was it like a Seymour Duncan JB or...
The blades are a really good idea for, like, if you're going to mod a Bronco, because it's, especially if you're going to try to do any tweaks with the string spacing, like, it just really gives you, it gives you a lot more option because you don't have to be right over the pole piece.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, in part of what I was thinking about, I was like, ooh, could I get some of the Nordstrom big blades or something like that in it? And I was like, this feels a bit much, really.
But yeah, that was the two things. The positive are great. You know, all these cool strap pickups that we can mod with. The other side is like, really? Really? Like, and we are in, you know, 2022, and you still can't be bothered to make a four-pole pickup for this bass.
To make a pickup to match the instrument.
Especially because it seems like there's loads of Broncos around. Like, it feels like that's a thing that, like, a lot of people, certainly in the last couple of years when we've been in various stages of people not being around their bass players, so picking up bass, you know, themselves, yeah. You know, like, just being like, oh, you know, a lot of these are moving. We could easily just retool. Like, the only difference is how wide the pickup is.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It just seems a weird thing, especially when you consider they did used to make a four-pole pickup for it in, like, four. Now, I was going to talk about the history of this, because the Squire Bronco isn't the first, and this is actually why it's got a strap pickup in it. The instrument that inspired the Squire Bronco is the Fender Music Master bass, which was created for exactly the same reason between 71 and 81, although I've never seen an 80 or an 81.
No, only
ever see like 78, like 79. 70,
yeah.
So that is when they officially discontinued them, but I don't know how many they made in the 80s. But we'll talk about the Fender Music Master bass and, what you know, all the great features of that, because it was slightly different, but it shared that same strap pickup. They re-released the Fender Music Master as a Squire Music Master in 1997 for a year under the Squire Vista series, which was that Japanese? I can't remember if Vista was.
Feels like it was like the Japanese version.
Yeah, but they released it as Squire Vista, and for that they made a four-pole pickup that was, you know, was appropriate. So we know Fender have even done this. This is something they have.
We know the correct part has existed. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's just weird that they don't, you know, they haven't brought it back. That seems like a sensible thing to do.
It's an interesting thing. I would love to, I imagine, be in whatever room was happening when they're like, let's do more Bronco stuff. I'm like, great. What are the things we should do about it? And be like, I don't know. Let's do a weird hodgepodge mix of like different flavors. But none of the ones that make sense. which is great. I mean, again, we're not slagging it off. Like, the quirks of it are the thing that I really like about it. It's just
so not
it's weird.
It's especially for Fender, a company that really hinged themselves on making A, it's great quality at any level, you know, even down to affinity, always great quality. And Fender, I think, always think about versatility. Like, that's a real cornerstone for them. And this is just the opposite of that.
And really modability and stuff, and like so much of like the differences between models, the differences that you have with like all the aftermarket stuff is always someone being like, oh, I'll get a Fender because I can just, like, so many people make different flavors of bridges that I could grab one of those, where for this, as we found, there ain't much out there, you know, but like, you know, unless you really hunt and like part of it is like, that's fun. It's like finding, it's like trying to find that really hard old record back before everything was just on streaming services.
Well, of course, but there isn't that P or J compatibility as there would have been, even if we were to take Affinity Series P or J bases.
There is, the Bronco is definitely a super fun thing to mod. But
absolutely.
It, with the caveat that woodwork will need to be done.
Oh.
You're going to be cutting holes in this thing.
Yeah. But the thing I will say about it is, like, it's so cheap that it's like, if you're at all interested in potentially doing that kind of work, this is a really good thing to do, because if you really, really mess it up, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And also, the woods are so soft, you don't have to do much to it, you know, like, whereas, you know, like, if I were to take like apart one of my, you know, 2,000-3,000 pound bases and be like, I'm going to do some stuff to it, you know, like this is the first time I've ever done it, I'd be quite nervous. And yeah. Had been when I first started doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a bit different to going in on a maple body and seeing what happens in the way that you have the freedom to with a Bronco, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were plenty of times this where I was like, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to buy another one and not tell Joe, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I want to talk about the Fender Music Master briefly before we go into sort of the Bronco, because that was such an interesting instrument. So yeah, produced between 71 and 81, 10 years, and it was the first time Fender had gone, you think 71, this really is the first time. So Fender are moving into mass production now, we're post CBS, and Fender are going Fender are thinking, we need something affordable. They don't own Squire at this point. The idea of budget beginner instruments has been something owned by Sears catalog guitars until this point. And Fender have always been a little bit more premium than that. And they're trying to, even though I guess they weren't Gibson premium back
then. But they were meant for people who made money playing guitar. Yeah,
exactly. So this was the first time they'd been like, we need a bass for beginners. So they'd literally put it together from bits and bobs that they had lying around. So it was a Mustang body, obviously, the Bronco is, and the Music Master was. It's a Mustang body because the Mustangs were less popular than Fender had thought they were going to be, and they had a surplus of Mustang bodies. It was the same neck, the 13th scale neck. They changed the plate, obviously, and the plate between the Bronco and the Music Master is something that have changed. Much prefer the plate on the Music Master, but you know they're different things. But this is how the Strat pickup came in, because that's what they did. They had a surplus of Strat pickups, and they yammed a Strat pickup in there rather than, you know, sort of the split Mustang pickup or a P or a J or anything like that. That's where it came, and it literally came because it was the cheapest part that they could put in and it technically worked.
Yeah, it's a thing where the fact that like you think about like that era, and it's like 71 and stuff, it feels like something that would happen during wartime. Like, you know, like if it was like during World War II, you'd be like, yeah, well, that's just what they had. You know, like that's
almost
you
couldn't like do a anything. Rationed
yeah,
sort of,
but it's like
creation
post Vietnam, you know, and you'd be like, surely you got parts,
yeah,
you know, but I definitely understand the, it's like part of the, this weird magic stew that is the Bronco is just like, oh, we have these random bits. We're just going to put them together. Yeah. It's like the first Bitzer before it was a Bitzer. Yeah.
Before people were doing Bitzers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thinking about those Y-tuners, the Y-tuners were on the 71 Music Master, because the first Music Masters actually had a slightly different size pickup cover, which is
a theme.
Very annoying if you're if you like me own a Music Master and you try and purchase a new pickup cover for it. But the 71s came in a weird, I don't know if it was Daphne Blue, but it wasn't metallic. So I guess Daphne Blue's not metallic, or it had a different undercoat or no undercoat. So it looked very different. It looked very much like someone had taken a paintbrush to the body. It was very home done looking for Fender. But it came in Daphne Blue with a perloid guard, and they had the white tuners. Then they redid it. It was available in black, white, which was a very cream white, and like a Dakota red. And then they moved to the full size tuners at that point. But so I guess that's, and it's kind of like, is that what you're doing, Bronco? Is that why you're using the Y tuners and the Strat pickup? But if so, why aren't you doing the plate from
the
Music
Master? That's a really, really specifically weird callback. If that's what they're doing, you know, it's like, you know, like they're just like, we're gonna, you know, make a nod to our history with these Y tuners that no one really associates with this bass.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I just. I don't understand it, but it is wonderful. You know, it's a wonderful oddity for that company to make. We should talk about Broncos, though. Before we talk about the three Broncos that we've made, and of course, dear listener, you know, hopefully inspire you to create something similar. I know some listeners have have already made this. I realize this has been a long time in the making, which we'll get onto at some point in this podcast. But before we talk about that, the whole idea of this really started because of Naomi and her Bronco. And when you first joined us on the podcast, Naomi, I was kind of surprised to find that you, a professional like gigging session bassist, was playing a Squire Bronco, especially considering some of the other basses that you had in your arsenal. And that was really, that was the catalyst that made me realize maybe Broncos are actually more than the sum of their parts. They're a bass that I, and I'm sure you, dear listener, had overlooked before now. And I know we've told the story of your Bronco before on the podcast, maybe a couple of times. But let's talk about that, how you found it, the modifications you chose to make, you know, and how you made a Bronco like an actual professional grade gigging instrument.
Sure. Yeah, sure thing. I think if there was ever a contextual time to talk about it, it certainly would be now. I'm by no means sort of laying any claim to being like an early Bronco modder. I had seen them around online sort of vaguely from sort of when they first came on my radar, maybe around, I don't know, 2015, 16, and kind of didn't really think anything of it. Didn't really think anything of modding at that time in my gear journey anyway. And then I was working in a store, obviously watching Fenders and Squires come in and go out and, you know, usually lusting after FSRs and, you know, beautiful American builds. And every so often I would pick up a Bronco to try, maybe in a rare quiet moment I'd pick one up, and slowly but surely realized I could not ignore the great attributes that each and every Bronco I sat down and tried had. So across three or four, I couldn't really ignore that all of them seemed to have super nice necks.
Do you mean in the cut or the feel or both?
In both, yeah. They seemed consistent. For an instrument so cheap, you know, and I really love that the Bronco is kind of accessible to any player, and particularly that it's a very accessible instrument to mod. You really don't have to break the bank to kind of get into the sort of project that we've all done with the Bronkoff. I sort of just couldn't ignore that this was weirdly consistent for such a budget instrument. And at the time I was playing a Mexican Mustang PJ. I had one of the faded Sonic Blue models that came out around
the first ones.
That was 2016, I think.
They called them the Offset series because Player as a series didn't exist at that point.
This was almost a forerunner to Player series. And I liked it. There was a few things about it that I kind of was finding better use with my usual sort of jazz bass and classic vibe PJ. So I didn't really need selling to be willing to kind of look into Squire a bit more. I was very used to people sort of coming in and hard-nosedly only being willing to speak about Fender or look at Fender or buy Fender. And I was becoming a little bit skeptical of this and feeling a lot more open to just trying something new. So I thought, you know what, to hell with it. Let me just pick up a Bronco, have a go, and like JD was saying a few moments ago, it's really no big deal if something goes like wrong with this mod. So I think possibly by this point I'd sold my Mustang PJ. I don't think there was too much overlap. So my other basses were quite different at this point. I had a 5-string Reverend Mercalli. I had the FSR P-Bass Deluxe Special.
Sparkle Surf Green.
Yeah, exactly.
Guard,
Surf Pearl.
Surf Pearl.
Surf Pearl. Guard. Yes, Surf, double Pearl. So I had a few, different basses for different functions, and I thought absolutely no harm having a short scale in there, and certainly for certain gigs I was picking up. So, long story short, I had become aware of the great work of Jake Sarek, a builder based over in Chicago, who now is sort of gaining popularity by the month, indeed. I'm not sure what sort of point he was at that point, but he had like a presence on Reverb, certainly, and people were beginning to pick up on his builds. And I couldn't help but notice that he manufactured a bass P90. And this immediately piqued my interest. I thought, you know, I have a P bass, I have a jazz bass, I have the Mercalli, which has that reverse PJ configuration. And then to have a bass P90, I thought, brilliant, that would kind of complete the collection. That would be a really nice representation across kind of my collection. So went ahead, picked up the B90, as it is by Serik, and set about installing it in the Bronco. And that was the first of several mods that I went for.
The B90, it's become a really popular pickup now. I think people are sort of modding it into everything, but it is,
yes,
it's kind of the perfect all rounder to go into a Bronco to give you a bit of, well, just, it's just a boutique custom shop quality pickup.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to really get the most out of what seemed to me to be quite nice. For something so budget, it seemed to be quite a nice body tonally, in addition to the feel on the neck that, again, I really liked. So the B90, I would say, still was probably the most important mod that I did.
Of course.
You know, absolutely transformed the sound of the bass and really, really lifted it up several levels, I would say, to getting the most tonally and really adding something a little more full and aggressive and bitey in all the right places versus the stock guitar pickup that was the Bronco.
It is kind of the thing about the Broncos. I mean, I know we can make other mods. A lot of the other mods now are going to be aesthetic, or, you know, they're going to make sort of minor improvements. Like we'll talk about the tuners and stuff in a minute. But the pickup's the big one. I think with a little bit of spend, you really transform this instrument into something perfectly viable. Well, dear listener, that concludes the first part of the Guitar Nerds Bronkoff. We recorded this podcast all in one big, you know, 3-hour-long session, but I've divided it up into episodes. So if you're listening to this as it comes out, the next episode will be out tomorrow. If you're listening to this in the future, simply scroll along to part 2 of the Guitar Nerds Bronkoff.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.